Victoria. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 38 degrees and partly cloudy. In New York City, 40 degrees and mostly cloudy. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, wherever you are tuning in. You are listening to Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. As always, thank you so much for your listenership, for your support. We really do appreciate it. Every Tuesday, we try to bring you what's happening in the city and highlighting those folks, leading the charge to make sure that this city is fair, inclusive, and just for all. We are having a little bit of an issue getting our guest on, but I want to make a little time to see if we can get the guest on. We're having some technical issues, but I was hoping to have on this afternoon Kike Aviles, who is a longtime poet, artist, filmmaker, you name it. He's done it here in the District of Columbia, and I'd love to wanted to interview him and share some of his insights on how he's seen the city change, how he's seen the arts scene change in the city. I know that he's been working on quite a few things and just wanted to get his input. So we are still going to try to get him on if possible. I'd like to start off by playing a poem of his that is titled Death is not a poem. So we're going to start off with that, and then we'll be right back.
I dare to think of love at times when I shouldn't. Last night, I heard the crickets on the roof, talking softly, moving carefully across the house like tired little soldiers looking for someone to kill. Chamba is not back yet. It's been 3 weeks and a half plus 8 hours and 21 minutes since he ceased to see the light of the sun. They told us how it began. He was at the park, they said, playing softball with the girls. Pitching, as a matter of fact, when they came for him. That's all we needed to know. The rest we knew. It's been hard to smile in this house since then. The smell of death sits on the windows like forgotten curtains nobody wants to change. Our memories of him dance around the house like playful children wanting to be free. From the cracks on the walls, we hear his voice echoing like a scream in the dark, telling us how much he wanted to reach his 18th birthday. It's been 3 weeks and a half since we found what was left of his body, but we still pretend that he's not back. We pretend, and are we good at pretending that he's still here. It's been almost a month, querido Chamba, and the torture continues. In this house, it is too hard to smile. It is hard to admit that you won't be back. And even the crickets on the roof sound like tired soldiers looking for someone to kill. And death is no longer a poem.
That was the great Kike Aviles with a great poem. I know he's got that. I think that is part of a movie that he's worked on or working on. And if we are able to get him on, we'll make sure to ask that and much more about his experience. As I mentioned, living here in the district, and sometimes, unfortunately, this stuff happens on live radio. So I am going to ask you to bear with me as we just try to make some time here for us to get the guest on. But given that we have some time, I'd love to invite callers who are listening right now to, as you well know, we are wrapping up the year. We are here in the first week of the last month of the year. And we are already seeing some issues that are going to affect many low-income working-class people in an adverse way. One major thing that I think folks should know about, and we've done a couple of shows now dedicated to this, but I think it's always important to keep updating folks, is the Emergency Rental Assistance Program is now out of funds. It had been delayed because of some emergency legislation that the city had passed, and the opening, which was supposed to be at the earlier part of October, got delayed, and it didn't open until this past month. And the first day that it opened, it closed because they had received the amount of applications they thought they had funding for. So what does that mean? It means that the funding for the current fiscal year, which starts in October, if folks don't know, the fiscal years here in the district, the budgets are from October to October. So the $27 million that had been, programmed for the Emergency Rental Assistance Program has essentially already been run through. So that means that from that November 20th date when the portal opened, and we've got one caller, so I'm glad to hear that. You will have to wait until October of next year, for folks to be able to apply to the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. And what we're facing now is, at what level will it be funded for the coming year? So I'd love to bring this caller on. I don't know if that's our guest, or it may be a caller with some, as I mentioned, some concerns around us moving into the new year and what we need to be looking out for. But can we bring the caller on?
Hello?
Hi. Hello, caller. How are you? Please introduce yourself and let us know.
My name is Robert Moses. I'm from Fort Washington, Maryland, and I just need 90 seconds of time for some words of wisdom. Jesus is the mountain. Jesus was the mountain, and Jesus will be the mountain. And anyway, Moses went to the mountain. The mountain came to Jesus is the mountain. The mountain came to Muhammad, and Muhammad said, "What's love got to do with it? These Christians are oppressing my people." So he preached the Quran. Only a fool would say there is no God. Chairman Mao was the foolish old man who moved the mountain.
Like okay, said, thank you, know, you, sir. We appreciate your listenership and your calling, but I don't know if that's what we had planned to discuss. So thank you for your call.
We
appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Kike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is. Okay, Kike, good. Thank you, folks, once again for bearing with us. Let me introduce Kike Aviles. As I mentioned, he is a poet, a playwright, a filmmaker, a troublemaker, an activist, a teacher, a student, you name it. This guy's been through it, and I was really excited to have him on with us today. So welcome, Kike. Thank you again for making time for the show.
No, thank you for having me. And, you know, we're still here.
That's right. That's right. Kike, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you are originally from El Salvador and you immigrated here, if I'm not mistaken, to D.C. From El Salvador. Tell us a little bit about your history in arriving here.
Well, it's quite a story. I'm from the countryside. I grew up as a peasant. We had land, but we worked the land ourselves, along with muscles that we were hired for other tasks, and because we had three different plots of land, and then that's how I began to see injustice when my grandmother, taking advantage of the people that we were hiring. And I was working right along with them. And then, I became this revolutionary, and then I was wanted. And that's how I came here in 1980 when I was 15, because the death squads had me on that list.
How did that shape you, and how did that either help or hinder your, adapting to a new country, a new city?
I mean, it was, for me, I have to say, I had it good, because my brother and my sister were already here, and they were hip into this Centro de la Juventud, el Centro de Arte. They were working with the muralists from Chile, and, like the big original murals of the 70s, because that's when my brother and my sister came. like 3 years apart. So when I came here in 1980, I had that cushion. And they immediately introduced me to all these people, you know, singers and, you know, and I became part of that, like a youth center. You know, they had these workshops. So that's how I kind of started, you know, seeing art, but then also seeing that we were staying and asking myself, wait a minute, you know, we need to start doing artwork that speaks to what's happening to us here as people, no? And that's kind of like where the thinking began to happen with Latinegro.
Right. Tell us a little bit more about Latinegro for folks who may not know what that was.
Well, Latinegro was and still is the only Black and Latino youth-led theater company that there was four of us. There were two Salvadorians. And two African-Americans, the two African-American women and I had gone to Duke Ellington School of the Arts together. And we were like punk rockers. And then we met this dude on the street right after we graduated from high school. We were just hanging out, you know, as Morgan, when as Morgan was kind of like abandoned. Hello?
Yeah,
so that's when Latinegro, you know, we were looking at all the violence because Blacks and Latinos, man, we were going at it, man. I mean, but like, we're talking violence on a daily basis. I mean, it was rough. And just for pure ignorance. You know, we knew no better. Nobody ever prepared us to encounter one another. And we were like, you know, Blacks are like, you know, you know, who the heck are you? And we're looking like, who the heck are you? Because we were expecting Black folk, you know. And here we are thrown together in the public schools and the communities, you know, adults. I mean, but there was a lot of young people that were coming like a weekly basis. And, you know, the school system had never seen or felt something like this. The school did not know what to do with us, you know, so they gave us English as a second language. Classes, but then we were put in regular classes. Well, we didn't understand nothing. It was weird. But
this is the early 80s, correct?
Yeah. You know, from 1980 on. And then they threw us up Francis, Cardozo, Roosevelt, you know, people want to deal. There was already a lot of Latinos at Wilson, but a lot of Latinos around at Wilson too. You know, Bell had just become kind of like this self-made school, you know, at the corner of, you know, 16th and Irving. You know, by Maria Tuqueva, you know, this activist, this woman that fought for, you know, having a bilingual school. And, you know, and she's been doing it since I arrived here. So, you know, she's been doing it for probably 50 years, you know, and she's still now she deals with this new generation of Ethiopians, you know, a lot lot of Asians, a lot of different other kids from different other African countries, no? Eritrea, you know, and she's always trying to figure out what to, you know, to make the school that makes it, you know, this mesh of things. And I don't know, I'm just, you know, rambling, but you know, that's kind of how I
Things. Well, I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, as I was doing a little research for this interview, Kike, I came across an interview of yours from 1994 in the Washington Post. I don't know if you remember. It's titled Kike Aviles, Racism, Riots, and Building Bridges. And one of the interesting questions that you're asked is, along these lines, is, you know, about politics and how they relate to your art. You know, I don't know if you remember how you answered that, but if you could. But how, you know, as somebody now who has the advantage of, you know, of being here in the district in such a long time, and just in general, you know, how have your politics been affected, and how do they show up in your art?
And I say what?
Well, let me pull that up, but if you could talk to us a little bit about that.
You know, politics, man. I mean, you know, I was coming from a civil war, man. And, you know, part of my family was slaughtered. You know, we just did this tremendous documentary called Las Muertes Más Bellas del Mundo, the most beautiful deaths in the world. And you know, it's just you know, it's about, you know, me finding the tombs of my relatives that were slaughtered by the violence, you know, that I came running away from. And it's been very painful, but also, you know, a journey of self-discovery and rethinking a lot of things about my family and who they were and who they are. You know, going back a lot more and seeing them and hearing all these things, you know, getting to know them. That's very interesting, you know. I feel like there's a lot of writing there, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, and not to speak for you, but I would imagine that it would help you to not connect with just people who have been through the similar experience, but, you know, the human experience of loss and grief and those kind of things, you know, in a way may help you connect better with your audience. Because in the same article, they ask, do you feel pressure being cast as, you know, a Latino artist? And your answer is that, you know, you write for bilingual audiences, or you perform for bilingual audiences. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, it's just, you know, something happened when I was in high school, you know, because I went to the Duquesne School of the Arts, the theater department. And, you know, I was pretty good in school, you know. And I read a lot. So language, you know, kind of became this thing that I kind of fell in love with. Then at the same time, when I was there, I felt empty. And then somebody gave me this book called Puerto Rican Obituary by Pedro Pietri.
Oh, wow.
And this crazy, you know, amazing, you know, New Yorker, man, that had been to Vietnam. I come back, and he had, like, he was an angry man. And, you know, I think he lived in the Bronx, I think. Or, you know, I mean, he lived in a rough neighborhood. So he wrote all these poems that most of them were poems of praise, you know, for his folks. But then he wrote these other poems that were, like, crazy. And, like, you know, suicide note from a cockroach in a low-income housing project.
Yes.
And then he wrote this crazy stuff, no? He writes stuff like, to get drunk, you have to drink. You know, he writes stuff like, I call my equal opportunity employer the other day and I said, I'm not coming in. Are you sick? He asked. He said, no, I'm feeling well. But I'm feeling, if I'm feeling sick tomorrow, I'll make sure I come in early. he just, like, writes stuff like that. And when I read this guy, man, that's my head just exploded. And I said, to hell with all this stuff that's Shakespeare and all this stuff, you know, because that's what I was teaching. I was being taught, you know, to be like a thespian, you know. And to, you know, supposedly go to New York or go to L.A. and try to make it in the market. That was the game, you know, at Ellington, to prepare you for that kind of stuff. And I was never into that. I was very much involved with the community. And then as soon as we graduated, you know, we started Latinato on our own. And then the youth center took us in. And we became employees, and then we started going into schools, into prisons, you know. And at that same time, you know, the community, you know, like a lot of parts of Northwest, you know, had become super multicultural. And then, you know, things were chill. There were problems. You know, we had riots in 91, right?
That's right, yep.
Because, you know, all the grievances with the police and the authorities and complete ignorance of the city, the real needs that the community had, and that we were now participants of civil society within, you know, the city, and had become the helpers, you know, the people that cleaned the offices, you know, the people that did all, you know, Salvadorians, you know, Ecuadorian, Bolivians, but the majority Central American, you know, and we don't know why, but that's just how it happened, no? So, yeah. There's been always this dynamics, you know, culturally, that have been interesting to watch and to feel and to be part of, you know, and being able to create stuff because you have the Rumberos and Malcolm X Park, because you had Rigores, you know, who passed away, the Cuban, you know, leader.
That's right.
Owawako, you know, and on Columbia Road. I mean, but there's still, you know, people doing stuff, you know, that is naturally to the community.
Yeah. No, I think that's, I think, you know, from people like yourself who have set, you know, a course and a history of being able to do this type of work, you know, you see it rippling, right? You see the effect that your art, and even like the rumbero, that used to be at the park, the ripples of his art, and
Oh,
his energy have on this city. And for me, I wanted to ask you about something specifically because this always resonated with me. And you talk about multiculturalism, but if I'm not mistaken, you did a play called "If the Children of Latinia." Is that correct?
yeah.
And if I recall correctly, it was this idea of how, we come here, immigrant folks and people who are born to immigrant parents, come here and become, first of all, you come here and you become Latino. And then second of all, there are all these interesting mixes that happen, right? Like you get like for myself, a Peruvian who was born in Peru who marries a Chicana, right? Somebody that's of Mexican descent, and we create these kids that are now this mix. Talk to us a little bit about that, because that, I really, really appreciate you the way you helped us to look at the world like that.
It's funny. I got this phone call, and he says, and I answer, and she says, "Oh, is this Kiki?" I say, "Oh, I found you." And like, I said, "Who's this?" "Oh, blah, blah, blah." And so, one of your poems changed my life, and I am the leader of the Latino Union student at Maryland University, and we'd like you to come and read. And I said, "Okay, great." Boom. I went. And then at the end, I said, "So what's that? What's your story, you know?" I said, "Where are you from?" And she said, "Well," she says, "I'm Iranian, Salvadorian, and Honduran." And I was like, "What?" She said, "Yeah." And then she told me this whole story about her family. It's amazing. And then, something happened after that conversation where I started seeing more of these young people that were mixes, And then
That's
I
right.
started seeing in El Barrio, en La Mampleza, en La Parro, La Catorce, in those places where kids are like half Salvadorian, half Dominican. They're like Salvadorian Mexicanos. There's Dominican, I mean everybody mixes, and they have children. This really mixed families, and you see them everywhere, not just in that area, and it's just I don't know, an interesting thing to see, but that people actually don't see it because they just look at us as the help,
That's right. As a monolithic group, but there's so much nuance.
They don't say hello. If you say hello, they don't respond. And I don't know, I'm like, what is the problem, man? You live here, we work here. I mean, who's in the back of the kitchen, man? Who's making your gourmet? Who's making your sushi? It's Latino, man. Who's making you fucking, I'm sorry, I apologize. Who's making your pizza, no? I mean, you name it. Italian. I mean, Salvadorans know how to cook so well. And that's why a lot of Salvadorians go on their own and open like Italian restaurants
That's
because they
right.
know how to, because they don't know how to cook. They know how to cook. They know how to
That's
cook
right.
fresh.
One of the best barbecue places I hear in this area, American barbecue, is run by owned and run by Salvadorians. Let me just let folks know, Kike, you are tuned into Taking Action here on WPFW
89.3 FM. We are speaking with Kike Aviles. He is a poet, a playwright, a filmmaker, activist, and we've been talking a little bit about his history here in the district, and I have more questions for Kike, but I believe we have one caller on the line. Caller, we don't have a whole lot of time left. If you would introduce yourself and either make your question or comment, we'd appreciate that. Go right ahead, caller.
Oh, sure. My name is Joe. I'm turning down the radio. I apologize. And Joe, from I'm in La Plata, Maryland, actually, which that's another whole story for anyone that needs to look up. They just found some stuff at Chapel Point that's thousands of years old, they said, from Native Americans. That's in the news right now. I'm there in La Plata, Maryland, not La Plata, Spain, though. That was the 1500s when the Catholics conquered the Aztecs. So brothers, I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're both doing. Sir, thank you for your work in the D.C. area for all these years. You've been here since 1980, you said. And I just wonder... Yeah. Oh, brother, it's good to hear you respond. I know you're talking to me. Thank you, friend.
Yeah.
And, my name is Joe Webb, and I'm a Crossland High School graduate. Been in Prince George's County my whole life, pretty much. Really, it's D.C., you know, DMV. And I used to live in Glen Arden in 1970. So I lived in Glen Arden. I went to that was a, you know, for me, it was a really tough place, really, Glen Arden. And, you know. People didn't like me a lot because of what I look like, and I got that. I get that. I get it right now where I'm at, and the plate is built off slavery and killing Native Americans, and it's hundreds of years of killing where I'm at right now, La Plata, Maryland. But, brother.
No, I know about La Plata. Yeah.
Oh, brother, we need to meet down here and have lunch together. I know about the tunnels under
the tunnel. I would love to.
Oh, you come to Denver.
Joe, and I'm sorry, but I really do appreciate your call, but we do have a limited time. If you would let us know your question or comment, that would be great.
The brother and me need to connect, but I'm 55 with daughters that are being abused in this country. But my question is, and I apologize for this stupid question, but I'm going to ask it, okay? Right now, there's a big deal with President Trump. Soon to be President Trump wants to send people back, this and that, you know, wants to do a lot of crazy things. We got people being divided on this. Do you have an answer or a question about that, friend, that you can tell me to think about? And man, you can look me up. My name is Joe Webb, brother. I'm trying to connect the world to peace.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate your call and your listenership. Kike, I don't know if you have an answer for that. I think it's a little bit.
Yes, I do. You know, what I say to that is that there's going to be a show. I mean, he is going to deport a couple of million people, but that's going to be the show. And then, I mean, there's just impossible for the economy to this country to function without, you know, the labor of the undocumented, you know, those who are the ones that bring us our lettuce and our tomato to our mouths, whether we like it or not. That's just how the system works, you know? So, I'm just hoping that he will have some common sense and realize that this is a stupid idea and it's not beneficial to the country at all. I hope so.
That's right. No, thank you. Thank you for that. And as we alluded to earlier, can't leave the politics out of any of this. But thank you, Joe, for your call, and thank you, Kike, for answering that. Let me ask you, Kike, you know, as somebody that's been doing this work for such a long time, and you've done so many projects, is there anything that stands out for you? Is there anything that you're like, man, that's really, you know, I'm glad I did that, or something memorable for you in your journey here as an artist in Washington, D.C.?
I think what really stands out for me is the power of street theater. You know, we had a 25-year tradition with Teatro Nuestro, Centro de Arte, 15th and Urban, and that was very like lefty political theater, you know, that had a lot to do with what was going on in Nicaragua and El Salvador. a lot of guerrilla theater, you know, using theater in marches and stuff. People dressed as soldiers and, you know, doing all kinds of like action. Really creating, you know, visual stirs. You know, and then, you know, there was a, I was part of a group called the Afro-Latino Youth Theater. It's one of the first groups that the youth center had with, we were very kids. So summer jobs, and we used to get paid to do theater. You know, so we do street theater, you know, and we had musicians and like, you know, and then it was just like, okay, how do we see ourselves? And we did it on the street. You know?
Wow.
So and it's actually because it was an eviction. So it's this dude, me, I play the character, you know, just going off, you know, about, you know, like all his stuff being on the street and the system and the this and the that and like, you know, they keep doing this to us and I mean, it was one of those type of things. And then there were all the characters that, you know, like, you know, people that lived in the building and but there was also people taking stuff, you know.
That's right.
It was, just, you know, it's your stuff. I said, like, taking your stuff. So that was, like, you know, the birth of a lot of that kind of, I don't know. It was just this hub, this energy, this something that, you know, people created, you know, and it was palpable. I mean, it was just like, oh, there was always music, you know, at the Wilson Center, you know, a lot of Andean music, a lot of Chileans. But they had their own thing, you know, Peñas.
Right.
And then, you know.
And I think what I've always appreciated about you and what I've always respected about you for as long as I've known you is your commitment to bringing arts to the community, right? I know, I mean, you do a lot of stuff at the Gala Theater, and, you know, if you look Kike up, you'll see where he's been and what he's done, but he's always on the street. Kike's always on the street from the Dia de los Muertos celebration that happens every year, leading the parade and music and poetry, but you've got this real commitment to the community and the streets and the people that are there. So, you know, just wanted to express my appreciation for you, as I'm sure many others do, because, you know, it's something we don't get a whole lot, right? Somebody's commitment to make sure that the arts, especially arts like theater and poetry are brought to the people. So just wanted to make sure that I said that and that you heard that, Kike.
Yeah, and it's a great, you know, deal. So many good musicians, and this whole new generation of young folk that we ain't seen yet, nothing yet. But I'm starting to see this young cat that, like, wow, this is the new generation, and this is the way they're playing, you know, and they're high school. You know, mixes of Salvadorians and this and that and the other.
That's right.
Luna. Now they have this Pakistani guy because the Dominican girl that was playing with them. But, man, they're amazing. So, you know, but that's the new generation, you know. And Hillary, my wife, was asking me. She said, you know, but isn't this the kind of thing that you always wanted? I said, doesn't this give you a sense of fulfillment?
Mm.
I said, yeah, it does, in a way. You know, because they're great fans of Mache Tres. And my last show is in December, you know, December 13th, 14th, and 15th. And that's the last time I'm doing a stage show with a live band. And the story of this Salvadorian peasant who becomes a rock DJ at a very, you know, he's from the countryside, from like where the place where I grew up. And he loves rock and roll. And he starts this called the Hincho Rock Revolution, which is like hillbilly rock revolution. You know, there was like hardly any like electricity in, you know, in those regions. So things moved slowly, but there was I don't know how to say it, but anyway, it was something, no. I'm not quite sure, you know, what I'm trying to say, but I don't know. Just being, having been in my own country, in my own surroundings, where I grew up, that has, I don't know, opened beautiful things and very ugly things, and you know, and it's that struggle now that I'm dealing with as an artist, and then as I'm saying goodbye to the theater, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what it is that I want to create, you know, with my eyes and my hands, you know, and I have a lot of great ideas and working on a few things. You know, I will have, you know, a lot of my new artwork at the shows with Mache Tres and Lilo Gonzalez and Sherid Atten. And it's a rock show, you know, and I mean, the rock DJ, and it's crazy, you know, premise. But
If you want to find out more about what you're working on or how they can connect with you, is there any way folks can reach out?
Yeah, the stuff is over on Instagram on the Las Muertes film. Caro is doing that, but it's Las Muertes film on Instagram. And then you can check out the Gala Hispanic Theater website. That's all the information. Or you can reach me on Facebook. Easy to find. Kike Aviles.
That's right, folks. Make sure to check out either of those platforms to make sure you're staying up to date with what Kike is working on. So this is you say this is your last theater show.
Yeah, my large stage show.
Mm-hmm. You know? Last stage show.
No more, you know, productions that involve, you know, a lot of people. I mean, yeah, I do one-man shows, but they're not really one-man shows. I mean, it involves, you know, a lot of people to make those one-man shows happen.
and
this one, the stuff, this is the third time I was doing this with Mache Tres. You know, it takes a lot of work because, you know, you work with musicians, you know, you're always negotiating what's, you know, what's the story and what, you know, what are the songs and we, you know, it's the usual stuff, no? It's the back and forth.
Well,
which is nice because you're doing it with friends. But yeah, to create new stuff. Say, so this show is special because we created for it. And also doing some classics, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, Kike, thank you so much, you know, and I'll share, you know, based on your last show and working with Machetres, I don't know if you remember many, many years ago now, we were at a party together, and you and Machetres did a little bit of this. You were workshopping and sharing some of the canuto, and they played some music. Yeah, well, I don't even know if it was canuto, but you were certainly doing that character. Yeah, similar character. So, you know, it's great to see you bring that to fruition.
Yeah.
That, you know,
okay,
that's your last.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to try to get some rest because I got to be at rehearsal at 4.
No, that's right. The working man, even though he's headed into his last stage show, he's working hard. Well, thank you so much, Kike, once again, you know, for your time and for what you've contributed to the city. What we try to do here on Taking Action here on WPFW is make sure to uplift people who make this city a better chance, who tell the truth and who share the stories that sometimes are not heard but need to be heard. And I thought it was really important to have you on. In order to do that. So, you know, wishing you the best of luck on your future endeavors, and we will make sure to keep folks posted on that. We'll have you back in the future, because I know you're probably slowing down, but you ain't stopping. I know that. make sure to, you know, reach out to Kike if you have any questions, and if you want to find out more working on. And once again, we'll wish you the best of luck on everything.
All right. Love you.
Take care, brother. Thank you so much. All right, folks. Well, thank you once again for tuning in. You've been listening to Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM. My name is Daniel Del Piélago. We had just had a conversation with the great Kike Aviles, who, as once again, you know, for me, it's really important to raise up those voices of the change makers, of those folks who are committed to making this city a better place. And Kike has certainly done that through his art, you know, for many a decade now here in the District of Columbia. So I wanted to make sure to uplift his voice and make sure that, you know, folks who may not know about him know a little bit more and are inspired to check out his work. With that said, as always, thank you all so much for tuning in. We apologize about those technical difficulties right in the beginning, but I feel like we worked it out. And we were able to pull the show out. So thank you all so much for bearing with us through the trials and tribulations of doing live radio. We're blessed to still have this platform to even experience that. So let's make sure that we keep WPFW as strong as ever. And we know with listeners like yourselves that we will do that. So thank you all so much. Make sure to stay tuned for COVID. Race and democracy coming up in just a little bit. Before that, you've got the news. If you have any questions for us, please feel free to give us a call, or you can reach me at 202-731-8634, or you can email me at daniel@empowerdc.org. Thank you all so much, and we will catch you next Tuesday. Peace, everyone.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. The United States is keeping a close eye on developments in South Korea after their president, Yoon Suk-yeol, declared martial law in an unannounced TV address today. The martial law decree would ban all political and parliamentary activities and would allow arrests without a warrant. President Yoon said the move was necessary to protect South Korea from communist forces in North Korea. However, soon after President Yoon's surprise announcement, 190 South Korean lawmakers voted to block the martial law decree. Under South Korean law, the president is obligated to comply with the vote, but it is unclear whether or not he will do so. According to a National Security Council spokesperson, the Biden administration is in contact with South Korea's government, and President Joe Biden is, quote, seriously concerned by the developments. The negative impact that social media can have on young people has been well documented. Dr. Vivek Murthy, U.S. Surgeon General, said, and I quote, "The mental health crisis among young people is an emergency, and social media has emerged as an important contributor," end quote. Now, Australia has passed legislation banning social media use for children under 16 years of age. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese called the first-of-its-kind ban, quote, "world-leading action to make sure social media companies meet their social responsibility." He added, and I quote, "Social media is doing harm to our children. Platforms now have a social responsibility to ensure the safety of our kids is a priority for them," end quote. Because of this ban, platforms like TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, Reddit, X, which was formerly Twitter, and Instagram could be fined up to $33 million if they systematically fail to prevent users younger than 16 from having accounts. It is unclear if this social media ban will affect ties between the United States and Australia. In these days, it's well known that personal information really isn't personal, as it can be accessed by numerous companies and individuals. Today, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, issued a proposed rule that could limit the sale of personal information, such as social security numbers, phone numbers, and addresses collected by certain companies. Companies that sell data about income or financial tier, credit history, credit score, or debt payments will be considered consumer reporting agencies that are required to comply with the Fair Credit Reporting Act, regardless of how the information is used. The director of the CFPB said that the proposed rule would, quote, "make it substantially harder for bad actors to improperly obtain sensitive information like social security numbers and home addresses that can be used for stalking, harassment, or foreign surveillance," end quote. The CFPB will receive public comments on the rule through March 3, 2025. In the D.C. area, police are still looking for answers in the shooting death of a community leader who advocated against gun violence. Over the weekend, 33-year-old Cornelius McDonald, who was known as Neil, was killed outside of Jasper's restaurant in Largo, Maryland. Investigators are working to identify and arrest the suspect who fled the scene. They're also trying to determine a motive for the shooting. Meanwhile, those who knew Cornelius McDonald personally are praising him for his passionate community work. Prince George's County Council member Walla Blagay especially commended McDonald, who was a father of one, for his efforts to help young people face their mental health challenges with courage. To that end, McDonald had established a nonprofit organization called Stay Solid in Southeast D.C. after his own brother was killed by gun violence some years ago. Anyone with information about the shooting death of Cornelius Neil McDonald is urged to call Prince George's County Police right away at 301-516-2512. Again, that's 301-516-2512. In today's weather, it's currently about 41 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnell.